शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
So now we're beginning again with the study on the Bhakti Shastri level. These degrees were established by Srila Prabhupada. The core study is of the Ishopanishad, Nectar Devotion, Upadeshamrita, and the Bhagavad Gita. Along with that, he's also mentioned study of the small books. He's also mentioned a study of the Pancharatra Pradeep, which is the deity worship, because Prabhupada expected that all second initiated devotees would already know all these things like that, because everybody was engaged in deity worship. So that makes then the core study. Within this, Prabhupada mentions that you have reading and you have studying. So reading means you're going through something in a chronological order. Study means then you're looking at the specific points that are there, and even broader than where you're looking at the same point wherever it may fall in the text. Does that make sense? Throughout the chapters. A chapter will have a certain direction, a certain mood, or a certain point it's making. But in making that mood, since all things are connected with each other, there may be touch on something from another chapter. So that's relevant. So then when you study, you go back and everything from any chapter that's on that topic, that's brought out. Right? That's study. Right? Just going through it chronologically and memorizing things, that's not study, that's reading. Right? It may be an in-depth reading, you know, it may be, you know, some kind of whatever, there may be so many terms, various kinds of reading. Like that. But the point is study means that you're going to go with specific topics in mind. Yes? Does that make sense? So, therefore, then, along with this, then we have the analysis of Bhagavad Gita, which is a treatise written by Srila Prabhupada in the 50s that went along with his Gita that he wrote. But you have the Gita, so you're going to read the Gita, and the purports are there, so you get the points. Then he had the study of it, so you could go back and then see how those points all connected together throughout the literature. Right? So then that will be included also. Then, along with that, then further is that the other relevant aspects of the philosophy or the Vedic literatures that go along with that study. Then that is being given in the second class, what is in the evening class. It puts the whole thing into context, like that. Means if you study the Bhakti Shastri, you'll know the philosophy nicely. And you'll be good, you'll be able to preach, you'll be able to, for your own practices and that. If you also are applying yourself to the other class, the evening class, that puts it into a bigger context that then so many side elements that are there in which you can present the philosophy that's given in these other literatures. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, you have these three levels. They can be taken that you only deal with the main literatures itself. That's one level. You deal with that with the further study, the deeper study, the analysis. That's the next level. Then if you use these other class, then that's a third level. And all these different levels will give different degrees. Right? They're all within the Bhakti Shastri. You know, an example would be the Bhakti Shastri with honors, or like this. So you would go, does that make sense? Because that would be together. So our standard teaching is that of all the three. That is how it's been conceived of, that is the academy degree. But as different devotees have certain amounts of time that they can spend or give to it, that accordingly then they can choose what level they'll function at. Another aspect is here is in this, the emphasis is not on memorization. Though, of course, if you have a memory, why not fill it up with Krishna conscious, you know, facts and figures, right, rather than something else. Like even Einstein wouldn't fill his brain up with numbers that he didn't need to memorize, right? Sometime a friend of his asked for his phone number. He walked over to the phone book and looked up his phone number. And so then his friend was aghast. Like, here's the greatest, you know, mathematical wizard of the time, and he's looking up his phone number in the phone book. And so he asked him, "Why? How is it you don't know this?" He says, "Why should I keep my phone number in my head when it's in this book, when I could fill it up with other more relevant things?" Right? So in the same way, as one can memorize so many things, but why not memorize things of value? So therefore, the philosophy, aspects of the philosophy, because there's always facts and figures. You have five stages of liberation. You know, you have the six symptoms of devotional service. You have, you know, the 24 elements. You have like this. So there's lists and lists of various numbers that are important. So if one can remember them, nice. But if one doesn't remember them, but one understands what is there, the significance, what each, you know, you have the five kinds of liberation, what's the significance of that? You can explain it, right? That's what we're looking for. Now, if your memory is good, you can memorize it even better, like that. But if not, we're trying to get to the essence of it, what it means, how it's applied, how it's useful, how we would use it, how we'd present it. That's what we're trying to get to. Because the idea is it's not just an academic course. The modern academy, you learn something and it's academics only. You call it academics because that's all it is. You know what I'm saying? It's within the education. You don't necessarily call it education. It's called academics. Someone who has that is called an academic. Right? Just like you have in the cooking process, you have somebody who cuts vegetables. Right? So it's technically part of the cooking process, but it itself is not cooking. Right? So they're called a kitchen assistant. Right? Someone washes pots. It's part of the cooking process. You have to have clean pots. But they're a kitchen cleaner or a pot washer. Right, serving you cooked everything nicely, right, and then you're serving that to others, then that's a very important part, right? You cook something nice and then don't serve it properly, then, you know, what's the use, right? So serving, but if that's all you do, you're a waiter. You understand? So if in the process of education, all you've done is memorize facts and figures and come up with your own opinion on those facts and figures, then, since it's only a portion of education, you're called an academic. You understand? They make themselves out big, but they're making themselves out big according in comparison with other academics. But if we're actually talking about educationalists, then they're very small on the list. Because otherwise you have so much knowledge, but you don't know how to apply it in your life to benefit. That can be considered very important. Right? That's very theoretical. Does that make sense? And theory alone without practice doesn't give you any lasting benefit. It doesn't generate realization. Realization is generated through practice of what you've learned. Does that make sense? Yes. Oh, you just... Okay. Thought it was a... Everyone has their different ways that they raise their hand. So it kind of comes up through a scratch and then kind of gets up like this, you know, on the other side of this one. Yeah. Okay. Does this make sense? So the point is having the knowledge, having studied the knowledge, that's not the problem. Not applying it, that's a problem. Right? Otherwise, you don't even get to the second stage of learning, which is manana, which means you've heard the subject matter, now you contemplate it and practice it. And then you contemplate what you've practiced, how well it went. And then you compare that to, you know, what knowledge you've heard. That will, by that steady practice in that way, that will bring you to realization, or vigyan, means actually applicable, spontaneously applicable knowledge in your life. That's realization. Right? Where it's not, it's formally applied knowledge in your life, that's jnana. Right? But vigyan means it's come to the point of spontaneity where it is part of your life. It's not there because it's supposed to be. It's there because you want it to be. Jnana, it's there because it's supposed to be there. Right? Then if you can say, is I like this knowledge, but if you don't apply it, it still remains as jnana, even though you may be very spontaneous about the knowledge. It will never give realization. It may give deeper and deeper understanding, but it will never give realization. Right. Does this make sense? So that's very, very important. That's why the emphasis is not on memorizing, but on understanding. Does this make sense? Like that. So what one's trying to get across is the understanding. So when you write your essays and all that, the important thing is the content. We're not looking at the language, unless you're sitting here in the pit here. If you're sitting in the pit here, then you'll get two grades. One, you'll get an English grade on how well you expressed yourself through the medium of the English language. But that has nothing to do with what grade you get for the spiritual content. You understand? The two separate grades. So it may be a great paper and you didn't understand at all what you said. There's some amazing writers who, just reading what they write, it's so nice to read, but it means absolutely nothing. Right? So, but you'll get a good mark in your English. Right? But you may fail on your, you know, philosophy. Right? The other is that philosophically you explain the points, but your English isn't so good. So the two separate things, we're keeping it that way, because other institutions, they much of the time, they put the two together. But seeing that even though English is used internationally, it's not official, and most people on the planet don't speak it. So it's, you know what I'm saying? Just like this, you're from? Czech. You're from? Okay. You're from? Spain. You're from? You're from? Mayapur. You're from? You're from?
Spain.
You. Yeah, you're between Spain and Russia. Sri Lanka. Okay. Like that. France. America. Okay. You?
Colombia.
Russia. You? You? You?
Australia.
Okay. So we see out of this crowd here, there's only, you know, three people that officially that's their language. You understand? So that's why the emphasis is not on the English part of it, though the essays are written in English. That would be much appreciated, unless you provide your own translator along with it. Just make sure the translator is good, otherwise you don't know what you'll end up with. Okay, yes.
There's a question you were explaining about the jnana and vijnana, or academical approach to education and more traditional. So it appears that in academical, then the knowledge itself is an end, while in the system is a means for...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Improving your consciousness and
Krishna
consciousness.
Yeah. You understand that point? Is that in the modern academy, gaining the knowledge or getting the degree is the end. That's your goal. So therefore, then they have all varieties of ways to study that they feel is the most efficient at getting that goal. So therefore, you get different kinds of teaching methods and this and that. And do you put it in? Do you draw it out? And the inner child, right? You know, the guy's 50 years old, but you're looking for the inner child and all that. So all these different things like that, you know. What about the inner old man? You know, like that. You know, somebody's like, you know, that maturity, that depth of the soul. The soul is eternal. Therefore, wouldn't we be looking for the inner old man? Like that, you know. But then, at the same time as the soul, then we'll identify more as like 16 years old. So then, the eternal youth, right? You know. So bringing out the youth within. You know. But at the same time as youth, then that freshness and niceness, but you don't attribute, you know, any depth there. But then, in knowledge, you want to have depth. So then, the old man, or the, you know, the wise old man, you know, like that. Not the wizened old man, the wise old man. It's amazing. Just that you add an N and you get from shriveled up to very deep. very narrow line there, right? Okay. Okay, so then, but in the Vedas, then the end is God consciousness. The whole Vedic culture, there's nothing else, there's no other goal to any activity than God consciousness. So therefore the activities of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha in the human scenario, its only purpose is God consciousness. There isn't another purpose. Right? So if it's not seen in connection with that, then we call it mundane. If it's seen in connection that is to make you Krishna conscious, then we say it's part of Sanatana Dharma. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So, therefore, then the principle. The point is that one is trying to understand the basis of this knowledge, and how it connects to Krishna, how it connects to you, and how it connects to the environment in which you're going to understand it and apply it. Right? Means you're here in the material world, so that's your place, the scenario. Right? So you have to be able to apply the knowledge of who you are and who God is to your situations here. Right? So that's what you're trying to get to. So that means then you're going to go through the process of presentation, therefore will be the Panchanga Nyaya. Your point is there. It's clear what your point is. It's not a matter of speculation. Right? Now that's not a problem. Like, we have no problem that once it's formalized in the, you know, all the curriculum on this, the later stages are written, it'll be put together. We don't mind you even know what the final test is, because the point is you either know it or you don't. Right? Is it a problem that, let's say, you want a driver's license? Okay? Is it a problem that you know beforehand that you have to be able to drive the car? You have to be able to park it, you have to be able to stop at a light, read the signs, be able to go left and right, you know, forward, even back up, you know, like that. You're able to stop on a hill and start again. You know, is it a matter of, oh no, I blew it, I mentioned it, and that it's not going to be a surprise, you know. We won't really know what they know. You understand? That is there if you're dealing purely with knowledge, because if you don't have it memorized, you don't know, you have nothing. You understand? That's the point. But on practical knowledge, if you can't apply it, it doesn't matter what knowledge you have. You know, you can talk about this and that and take a car apart and put it back together with your words, but if you can't drive the car, you don't actually have, you are not educated in driving. Does this make sense? So that's the point, is that even what it is we want you to know, that's fine. Point is you have to know it. And we can tell by the essays. So the main thing is it's not based on a final exam like that. There will be, you know, of course there are final exams, but it's based on how you're understanding the continuous assessment, how you're understanding as we go through. You know, you're reading a section, how it's understood, the essay you write there. That is your main thing. The last one is just to check and see, you know, the depth. That's the main thing. So that can be done through writing, through oral, like this, it doesn't matter. But it's the depth that we're looking for. Does this make sense? So therefore, one should try to understand. You know, sitting in the class, listening, goes in one ear, out the other. That's not the point. It's supposed to go in and stick. Right? You know the story of Gopal Bhatt and the three clay dolls? Right? Only some of you know. Okay, so the king means the king of Krishnagar, Krishna Devarai. He had his court jester, which is Gopal Bhatt, who eventually became his prime minister. You know, because to be a court jester, you have to be very, very smart. Because the court jester is the only one that can goof on the king or say whatever he likes or point out things very directly. And technically, he's not supposed to be killed, but still it's up to the jester to know where the line is that he doesn't, in a fit of rage, the king kill him anyway. So you have to be very smart. So then we see in the Indian history that Gopal Bhatt and Tenali Ram, they were both in the same position, and amazingly enough, both their kings were called Krishna Devarai. But they were in different, ones in Bengal, ones in South India. I'm not sure that they weren't at different times also, but in any case. So he was the jester, and so then somebody came and gave a donation to the king of three very nicely made terracotta dolls. You know what terracotta dolls are? Yes, you all know terracotta dolls? You wouldn't know what a doll is. Right? Terracotta? Terra? Okay. Terracotta means where it's made out of clay, and then you fire it. Right? You put it in the kiln or in the oven and bake it, so then it becomes hard. Right? Like the clay pots that you put all the prasad in when you distribute it, that's terracotta. Okay? Like that. So they made these terracotta dolls like that. And so then after that, you know, that part was over and everyone had gone, then the king turned to Gopal Bhatt and said, which of these three dolls is the most intelligent? Right? And so he was just kind of goof on Gopal Bhatt. So then Gopal Bhatt, you know, became very serious, went out of the room, came back with, you know, from the brooms, the coconut brooms, the hard brooms. They got the coconut frond. He had broken off one coconut frond and brought that back in. You know, the king's looking at it. What's going on here? You know, he can't be serious, right? You know, these are terracotta dolls. So he goes up to the first doll and then puts the coconut frond thing in one ear and keeps pushing it, and it comes out the other ear, right? Then he pulls it out. He goes to the second doll and he pushes it into his ear and it comes out the mouth. Then he goes to the third doll, he sticks it in the ear, and it sticks. So then he very happily, you know, in a triumphant mood, then points out to the king, this third doll is the most intelligent. And the king's thinking, this guy's nuts. He says, these are terracotta dolls. You know, it's like, what do you mean, you know, intelligent? He says, so he says, okay, you know, you explain. So he says, the first doll says whatever knowledge he hears, right, because in Vedic the education is through the ears, right, through hearing. He says whatever he hears, it goes in one ear, out the other, so he retains nothing, so he's not intelligent. The second one, whatever he hears, immediately he's blabbing to everyone and that he's a gossip, so it's not also that. But the third one, what he hears, it sticks in his head, like that. So then the king was very satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? So it's supposed to stick in the head, not go out the other side. But then one could say that that actually is even the first step, that it even went in the ear in the first place. So like that. So that's also a point. So like that. Sorry. Mother used to say you have to get your elbows out of your ears. Like that. Like that makes it very hard to hear. Okay. Yes. So therefore then the goal is not knowledge, the goal is to have an understanding. To have the understanding, you have to have knowledge. You have to understand the practice of that knowledge. That means you have to be familiar enough with the knowledge that you can actually think of it and remember it to a workable degree. Right? In other words, what aspect it is that you're using in your life, you have to be able to retain that much. That comes by practice. Therefore the repetition, they're hearing the same things. Because basically, philosophy is simple. Krishna is God, We're eternal soul that is his servant, right? The goal in life is to develop love for Krishna, and the process is through chanting the holy name. That is the philosophy in a nutshell. Everything that you hear is simply divisions of this. There isn't more knowledge than that. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's very simple, actually, the philosophy. Then it's just a matter of, for us in our particular conditioning, what we need to hear so that we are able to apply it in our life. Right? So now, yeah. So that's then, that's what we're looking for. Is this clear, what we're looking for? In other words, we're looking for an understanding of what's there. Like that. An application of what's there. We're not looking for scholarship. Right? Someone who understands what's going on will be a scholar in their own right, according to their own nature. Right? Does that make sense? Because if you can't apply it in your life, you're not going to be able to give it to someone else so they can apply it in their life. It's not going to happen. Right? You can only give something you have. You don't have anything, you have nothing to give. I guess it's a, you know, the intellectual version. If you know, if you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. So if you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to give. So yeah, it's like, it's the positive side, not the negative. The lose, this is the give. Like that. Okay? Okay. Okay, so now, in this class then, what we're going to do, since the the powers that be that are working on the class are coming after a little bit of time. We've gone through the Ishopanishad. What we're going to do next, starting from tomorrow, is we're going to go, I've had ideas that, because we've been looking for a overview of the of this part of the course, you know, the four books. Then, so what we're going to do is go through the introductions of these four books. Because in there you have a complete understanding of what you're trying to gain from the book. Right? And you'll be able to see the connections between the four books. Because otherwise, much of the time, in the long study, you know, over, you know, so many years of these books and spending so much time on one book, one doesn't necessarily see the connections between them. Why are these four books put together as one course? Right? It's obvious, okay, Bhagavatam, the Bhaktivedanta is Bhagavatam, Bhaktivedanta is Bhagavatam, but you're dealing with one book, so that's clear, or Bhakti, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, you have one book also. But in here, then, there's four books. So then, how to understand that connection, right? So we're going to start with that. The evening class, the time is adjusted. That will be from 4:45 to 5:35 in the evening, like that. So that matches with the evening schedule of the school, like that. And so that class will run, that will continue what we finished with the, didn't we finish? I think we finished. No? With the mundane philosophies and everything. I think we finished with that. So we're going to start with six systems of philosophy, right? Because that is then your basis. All mundane concepts in philosophy come from these six schools. All it is the modern basically either has a mix of them, or they're not so expert presenting them. Just like Jaimini, which means pure materialism, you know, where you're just the fruit of work. Do good. It means everything's coming from matter. You do good, you'll get good results. You do bad, you get bad results, because you're dealing with material energy. So therefore, if you please material energy, you'll get good results, you'll be happy. Right? That's basically his philosophy in a nutshell. But it's so expertly presented that no one understands that this is philosophy. And so to this day, huge, vast numbers of people follow it. And they actually think it's basically religious. They don't think it's atheistic. They actually think it's God conscious. Because the presentation is so well done. But your Western philosophers, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example, Comte, is that how you say it? Or is this some fancy way of, anybody knows? You're the French man. C-O-M-T-E.
Count?
Hmm?
That means count?
No, that's the name. C-O-M-T-E. Yeah, and how would you say it?
Comte.
Comte. Okay. So, this guy, Mr. Comte, then he has, what are you saying? Presented the same philosophy, but more bare bones. And so people figure it out that it's actually just materialism, it's atheism. So it doesn't become as widespread or last as long. So that's the problem with all the modern philosophers, because they don't have a basis in the Veda, which is eternal. Their presentations are also quite temporary. And so individuals here and there may study their books, may become inspired, but they're not greatly, you know, how you say, you know, how many here has even heard of, what is it? Comte. How many have heard of him? You've heard. Two, three. Okay, but that's all that's heard. I mean, you heard because I just said it? Yeah, I heard it. You just said it. You've heard before we brought it up. Yeah? Okay. So that, okay. But very, not everybody has heard of all these different people. Right? So that's the difficulty. So the Vedic, then you get a very clear understanding of the complete philosophy. So complete, you know, philosophy of materialism or atomic particle, you know, philosophy. Like, you know, quantum and these things like that. But they don't actually give it complete. There's something missing. Right? Not that these material philosophies are complete. They're as complete as it gets. Right? And then from there, then, you know, we can see where it's gone wrong, where it differs from the eternal principle. Right? That's what you're trying to figure out. If you understand what is the real philosophy, it's not, our philosophy is not a philosophy. It is philosophy. Right? So then, from that, then you can see how it's deviated from there. Right? Because we've mentioned is that from the Upanishadic angle, is that you're dealing in philosophy with 5 points. These 5 are, what is the nature of the supreme? 2nd is, what's the nature of the soul? 3rd is, what is the nature of the material energy and its relationship with the other 2? 4 will be, what is the process by which the individual living entity can elevate himself to perfection? And 5th is, attaining perfection, what is his relationship with the Supreme? Understand? Very straightforward. Every philosophy can be fit into these 5. And from that, then you can get a very clear definition of them. Otherwise, what happens is, it won't be clear because everybody, it's speculative, they'll have their own presentation. And so it gets confusing and you think that, but if we ask this alone, because people can talk for days about something, but then you say, who is God? What is God? And they go on and on and on about, you know, this speculative kind. They can't clearly say, this is God, this is a jiva. Like this Kant. Then he's saying is that, you know, the supreme is the material energy. So there isn't someone outside of that. So he brings it even down to 4 points. He doesn't even have 5 points. Right? What is so the living entity is a generation from material energy. Right? They're saying consciousness comes from matter. You know, forget Lucy. You know, you're coming out of this thing here, you know, this stone here, right? You know? Maybe that's why Stonehenge. Right? You know, then they understood. So then consciousness is coming from matter. So the time of death, the consciousness just goes back into matter. So therefore, you worship material energy, do good things that are pleasing to material energy, you'll get good result. Does that make sense? That's his philosophy. So his process, therefore, is do good selfless work. That's his process. Just be a nice guy. right? And then the ultimate is that you enjoy yourself in this lifetime, and when you're dead, you're gone. Right? So if you hear that, it sounds ridiculous. But if you hear his presentation of it, then it seems like something's there, because they'll talk this way, that. But if you reduce it down to these five principles, then it's very clear. Right? Your modern world religions. Okay, God. There's a single God who's in charge of everything. Like that. What is the material energy? This is the place that God gave the living entity. It's for some of them to enjoy themselves. Right? It's here for man to use as he pleases. Right? What is the soul? The soul's the body. Or the soul's the mind. Right? You have to bury the body at death, because in that body they're going to go to, you know, whatever they call heaven. Right? Does that make sense? So they don't even know what the soul is. Some will even say it's more so, okay, it's the mind. But they don't even know that there is a separate entity called the soul. So how deep is that? And then when you talk about, okay, and what is material energy? It's there to enjoy. But it's supposedly given by God. It's his creation. It works according to his laws. But someone other than God manages it and is in charge of it and actually can act outside of God's laws. Now, if you look at it that way, it's getting strange here, the philosophy. If God's there, how does this work outside of his control? Right? Does that make sense? And not only that, it was just one of his wallahs, you know, one of his angels. You know, angel went bad, you know, they could make a movie or something, you know, so I guess. You know, but the thing is, so how is an angel who's just an angel there, and then there's God, then comes here, and now he's you know, on the same level of God as control? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Right? And then the ultimate is, I mean, and the process is, again, be good, be nice. Supposedly follow the laws of God, but actually someone else is in control here. Right? And what you decide or what you want to do is up to you and up to your community. It's not actually looking into God's laws. Other than obvious be good, be nice laws. Don't steal. You know, don't do this, that. Right? And then the ultimate goal is therefore from being good, be nice, you go to heaven and eternally enjoy yourself. But there's no relationship with God. Right? You ever heard anybody talking about when they go to heaven, that there's going to be a relationship with God? No, there isn't any. He's at the door, you know, pointing this way to hell and this way, okay, you can go on the other side. But that's it. The only time you see him is as you walk past him into heaven. You know, it's his place, like that, but he just stands there. He's the chokidar, right? You know, God's the chokidar. You understand? So we see the flaws in the philosophy are great. He's not actually the supreme. The soul is not actually something spiritual. It's just material energy. The material energy is God's creation, but at the same time, it's not controlled by God. You know, on a practical level for us. You know, maybe the sun comes up and goes down. That God's controlling, but what you're going to do is not controlled by him. Right? The process itself is just be good, be nice. It's not, supposedly that's following God's laws, but how deep is that? And then when you attain perfection from doing that, you don't develop a relationship with God. You understand? You understand this process here? So from that you can very easily see what's what. And so when somebody comes up to you and you know, ask, you know, so have you found Jesus? And then you can turn to him and say, I didn't know he was lost, you know, like that. So then, you know, stuff like that. So then you can actually discuss when they're about this, you know, this and that, but why? What's it based on? They don't have a basis. So you can discuss philosophy, and even though you only know this much, you'll be able to properly discuss and properly establish what is the correct, you know, Siddhanta understanding. Does that make sense? This is why the principle is more important. You know the facts or not. If you know the facts, it means you have a good memory, you're able to work in that way. You don't, the principles you can always hold. You understand? The finer brain tissues is where this stuff is. Right? So that's why we drink milk. Right? Finer brain tissues. We chant Hare Krishna for finer brain tissues. Right? I mean, that's, of course, developed love for Krishna, but it develops the finer brain tissues. And we live in aesthetic environments because that develops the finer brain tissues. Yes? You want to know where? Can you get it at Nimai's shop? How much do we need or something? Is this clear? What's going on? What's the concept of the whole course? All that. So then the morning is going through the four books like that. The evening one is other books, complementary books. So that means now we'll go through we've gone through the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. We're going to go through, and we went through the Tattva Vivek, you know, about the materialistic philosophies. We're going to go through the six systems. Then after that, we'll go through the Upasampradayas. And then world religions. Then that will end this part of it. Then after that, then we'll go into the broad range of the Vedic literature. So we actually know what's there. You know, we've heard of Rig Veda, but what's in there? Anybody would know. Lots of Rigs, right? Plenty of Rigs. Like that. Therefore called the Rig Veda, right? What do you think? No? Don't know who Rick is. Okay. George? Sam. Must know Sam. He's got a Veda also. Okay. Yes? No? Okay. And in the schedule is that this class will run throughout the year at this time. Like that. That won't change. The evening class will run from now to Vasant Panchami. And then at Vasant Panchami, we'll, after Gaur Purnima, when the classes would start again, we won't run the evening class. Because, strangely enough, when the weather is, you know, how you say, you know, 40 degrees, somehow or another, the philosophical part of the brain doesn't seem to function. I'm not sure why, like that. So it'll be a lot easier for everybody is that, you know, they can sit in the, whatever it is. However, you can generate it, the cool of your own environment to continue the work. So, because this is the main part of the course that runs the whole year, the evening is supplementary aspects that will only run during this term. That also gives freedom for the boys in that time to use it for studying other things that they would be interested in. Their own specific studies for those who are involved in this course. Okay. Any other questions on what the course is, how it's running? No? Is that very clear? Okay. So then this evening we'll start with the six systems, and tomorrow we'll start with going through the introductions. Like that. Yes. That will have to work out. Main thing is we have to find some way that those who are in the class, then there's more that they're able to feel inspired that they're applying themselves. I mean, otherwise one can always come and sit and listen. That's always there.
So that's still open.
But the point is to get it to the point where the devotees are inspired, can see that they can write. I mean, 200 words is like how much on a page? Like, a normal page is how many words? 300. So that means two-thirds of a page. Like that. So basically you're trying to write one or two of those a week. So it's technically not a lot. The beginning it may be, but once you practice it, it should be quite quick. So that's why there's 3 years, because then it goes slowly. The amount of material that's covered, you know, is spread out. So you're dealing with Bhagavad Gita is 1,000 pages. You know, the other books themselves put together won't even get 1,000. So you're dealing with less than, you know, 2,000 pages. While the Bhagavatam in the same amount of time, you're dealing with, you know, much more. much more, you know, like what, 6,000 or 8,000 pages. But the practice will be there, the ability to get right to the essence, the ability to write, you know, and express oneself, then is quick, so therefore it goes in the same amount of time. You know, same Bhakti Vedanta, it's a little bit more, not much more, but something more. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, you're going through 8 volumes. No, excuse me, 11 volumes. Right? Does that make sense? So, but because it's practiced, it'll go very easy. So each of them are all still in the 3 years. So that is your standard 12-year cycle of education. 12 years is connected with the cycle of Jupiter. Right? Jupiter makes a one complete revolution in 12 years. So that's taken as the basis of education, that in 12 years, then you're educated. That's the basis. Then if one can, one studies beyond that, but that's the basis. So therefore, these 4 courses, and each one of them has 3 years, so that's the logic behind it. Yes? Is that okay? Anything else? Following the match? No? Yes?
Is it possible to catch up if we miss?
Possible to catch up if you miss, yes. Basically, you just contact, best is you contact Shanti G, but if not, is you just, whatever material has been given, you just go through it. In other words, the lectures are going through the subject matter, but your going through it doesn't have to be at the same pace. If it is, then nice, then you're just keeping up there. But if not, you can move at any pace. So you could be, you can start now the writing of it and catch up, because it only runs from now to Nrisimha Chaturdasi. So it's only over 8 months. Right, but then we lose a month for Gaur Purnima, so it's basically, you can say, 7 months. Right, so then, and then that's 4 months where there's no classes. Does that make sense? So it should be, technically speaking, time-wise, one should be able to, through the year, be able to either keep up, or if one hasn't done, catch up. So here we've just done 1 year, and so this is the beginning of the second year. Is that okay? Right. And the idea is that these 3 years are the years, if you don't know what's going on, it doesn't matter. This is the time to figure it out. The concepts, the newness, the basis, everything like that, okay, this is the time to figure it out. Because once it gets to the Bhakti Vaibhava level, then it's Bhagavatam, everything that's needed to understand Bhagavatam is given in the Gita. So it's in this section. So therefore, if one knows this nicely, then the Bhagavatam will be very easy. Right? Even though the volume is greater, it will be easier because you already understand the basis. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, yeah. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, yeah. Jainatai Gaura Premanandini.